Hey everybody, Dave Hodges here, host of The Common Sense Show. We are the show that is freeing America, one enslaved mind at a time. Thank you so much for joining us. And we have back with us a special guest again for yet another return appearance. And we're going to be, I got to tell you, this is so complicated, but so important. We're going to be unraveling what we think is just a pure and pristine victory by Glenn Youngkin in Virginia. But there's a little more to his background that I think we need to unravel. And it really opens up a whole host of other things to consider when it comes to our elections. And I've looked at some of the things that Susan has put into our guest, Susan Bradford, she's put into writing here. And I got to tell you, I don't know if we're ever going to have another clean election. But I'll let you be the decider of that. Susan has a website, susanbradford.org. And I'd encourage you after the interview to make sure you visit there. And she's written some very interesting things. And in fact, up on thecommonsenseshow.com, we have an article written by Susan. And very interesting about Michael Flynn. Susan, welcome to the show. Glad you could join us here. And I wish a good guy would just win and we wouldn't have all this confounding variables coming into play here, but that's exactly what we have with Mr. Glenn Youngkin.
Yeah, we definitely do. And thank you so much for having me back. It's always a pleasure to talk to you. We did have a good candidate during this past season in the form of Sergio de la Peña. He was a MAGA candidate, but of course the lobbyist back candidate, Glenn Youngkin, won in his place. And I think, you know, what I've discovered about him is that he was, during the campaign season, he was calling for an audit of, you know, for the Dominion software. But at the same time, two alum from the Carlyle Group, his previous employer, actually started a company called Staple Street Capital, which owned the Dominion software. And I hear some interference on the line.
No, we're good. We're good. We are good.
Okay, we're good. Okay. Two Carlyle Group alum established Staple Street Capital, which owns the Dominion software. And the Carlyle Group, I think as we've previously discussed, is a private equity firm. It was created through... benefits or different business incentives that were created for the Alaska Native corporations to help them achieve some type of economic parity. The Indian country, as you know, as we've discussed, is controlled by the Rothschilds and the Vatican. So unsurprisingly, the Carlyle Group reflects like a nexus of different networks of like a who's who of globalists, including James Baker, Rumsfeld, the Bush dynasty, Osama bin Laden. Even George Soros has a fund at the Carlyle Group. In fact, many of these individuals were investing with Carlyle while Glenn Youngkin was presiding over the company. In fact, the founder of Carlyle Group, David Rubenstein, recruited Youngkin. So he's not really, you know, the people's candidate. I think he is an establishment candidate. He would toe the globalist line. It does appear that at the very end of his stint with Carlyle, that he was losing money for a few of the funds over which that he was managing, mm-hmm. and that he was either pushed out or he decided to leave on his own accord. And then this was the point at which he was trying to decide, you know, what do I do with my life? And he embarked upon a campaign to run for the governorship. And so he campaigned on, you know, the typical Republican talking points of, you know, against critical race theory, the Second Amendment, and other topics, abortion. But the reality is that he has a very deep globalist background. He was a close friend and associate of the Clintons, and actually Hillary Clinton was a featured guest at Carlyle on many occasions. So I do question whether he is a true MAGA candidate.
Well, that is so interesting and so disturbing here. But you've laid this out very well. So he fails as a globalist financially. They oust him from Carlisle, so now he decides he's a conservative. What do I do with my life? Well, let's just run for governor. This is almost comical.
Well, he runs for governor with a $500 million nest egg, most of which he acquired through a stock with Carlisle. And the Carlisle Group, as you know, has acquired most of its profits from the taxpayer.
In through their never-ending
deals,
their never-ending in search of the
crony
next
contracts.
War. Is that right?
Correct. Search of the next war. Deals. It could be infrastructure deals, medical deals, any part of the economy in which the government, you know, could assign a contract, typically a very lucrative contract. You'll find the Carlisle Group with its hand out.
If I remember my history correctly, weren't they instrumental in getting the Iraq War off the ground?
They were. And in fact, the Carlisle Group boasts a who's who of neoconservatives, and they profited immensely during the Iraq War, specifically since a number of they were connected with the Alaska Native corporations, and I think as we've discussed previously, the ANCs were front groups for the major defense contractors,
right,
including
right.
Halliburton and
KBR,
among others.
Yeah, the, you're really
correct,
tying that
correct.
now. My memory's being completely jogged by that time. That's interesting. And do you think that they have a hand in cancel culture?
Have a hand in it?
While you're thinking,
I think they're okay.
I was going to say, we had a really popular talk show host here. His name was Charles Guyette, and he's a friend of a friend, one of my good friends. They used to work together in radio, and Charles was number one, and he actually shifted this low performing station into the number one station because of him. And he replaced the major KTR dominant in the Phoenix area. But he kept saying, I want to see the weapons of mass destruction. And they canceled him. And this is the same time, too, that the Dixie Chicks got canceled. And I just wonder, did the Carlisle Group, were they into the cancellation culture, or were they just operationally oriented?
That's a good question. I don't know whether they were specifically involved with the cancel culture, but... you know, as you know, the Indian tribes and these defense contractors are also tied into the global intelligence networks, and the intelligence networks are geared at maintaining a specific narrative, you know, that reinforces the establishment view. So if they don't want the public to be, you know, questioning where the weapons of mass destruction went, you know, they could, you know, maybe have their allies lobby to have a specific pundit pulled off the air.
Okay.
And I think what we're seeing that now, even with Bongino, where he has come out very publicly against vaccine mandates, and you know, he's been removed from his show. I think he's been suspended and may lose his show altogether.
You talking about with Sirius?
It's because over the vaccinations. He has,
right. The radio show. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I still see
correct.
Him on Fox. But you know what's interesting too? He's got non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, and the people that manage his show expect him to get a vaccine with that kind of health condition. What does that say about them?
Either they believe in the benefits of the vaccine, or they're also being coerced into supporting it.
Yeah, it just, well, anyone knows that when you have non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, your immune system is at risk, and now you're introducing an agent that will weaken the immune system, because that's how it works. You introduce what it is you're trying to fight, that has a deficit effect on your immune system. And to me, I'm thinking these people are just animals. They're inhuman animals that are enforcing this vaccine mandate, on, especially on people who aren't well.
Well, I think their main objective is to acquire as much money and power as they possibly can, and I don't think human rights or human values have ever been factored into the equation.
I know. I'm looking at it through the eyes of someone who's allegedly normal. I hear you. I hear exactly what you're saying on this. You can't put it this way. You can't judge these people through the lens of Christianity. How's that?
I think that that's entirely correct. And you're looking at a group, it's really an international crime syndicate that is running the global hierarchy, with the Vatican and Rothschilds, behind that bureaucracy. But I also wanted to, if you'd like, we can go into the audits and
Okay, but
how
before we go to
the
the
election
audit,
has been
I'd
rigged.
like to put a closure on Youngkin. I'd like a projection from you, since you're so familiar with all the players here and the different dimensions of this. Where do you think Youngkin will really take the office of governor of Virginia? Given what you're telling us about his background, I don't see him going in the populist direction.
No, he will not. I think, since he was elected with the support of quite a few lobbyists, I think that he will support whatever the establishment line happens to be. And I think that inevitably will be towards tighter government control and centralization. I don't believe the public has an appetite for war. I know that the elites have been trying to generate support for war against Iran, but the United States doesn't have the money, I think, to invest in another war. But he could be, supporting, forced vaccinations on behalf of the pharmaceutical companies, and any number of, technocratic items. I think that Steve Bannon, and a number of the elites on the conservative side are looking at ways in which they can harvest personal data, because I think they view that as being like the great gold mine of our era. So that's the way that, in which they can make money, by monetizing personal data. So I expect that Youngkin would probably be supporting initiatives, that exploit that data for, on behalf of the government or for private industry.
Okay. And they'll continue to use Dominion voting machines in all likelihood.
I expect so.
Okay, I agree with that. Okay, let's go to the audit.
Okay, as you said, this is very a little complicated, but basically, what I have discovered is that Obama was controlling the Trump administration. We know this since Patrick Byrne, the former CEO of Overstock.com, acknowledged this, and basically they. Obama and the powers that be recruited a number of Trump's associates, including Giuliani, Jared Kushner, among others, to work on behalf of Turkish interests. And Turkey is a very important country to the Vatican and the Rothschilds strategically, since it stands in the nexus of intelligence between linking Eurasia. It's also a key land bridge that that links their markets. So Obama had established a base in Turkey in 2012 to help reinforce his power in that region. And during the Trump administration, a number of key players, including Trump's fundraiser Ballard Partners, Rudy Giuliani, Jared Kushner, among others, were working on behalf of the Turkish government, Turkish executives, Turkish banks, to defend them over the fact that they were sending money or engaging in commerce with Iran, sometimes to the tune over a billion, billions of dollars, in violation of U.S. sanctions against Iran. So you have a group of neoconservatives who, on the one hand, are promoting regime change in Iran, and on the other hand, are working on behalf of an Islamist government against dissidents, who are moderate Muslims, who are very critical of these governments, and which is actually funneling money to Iran. So they're working on both sides, and what that tells us is that you have the two sides working against the middle. So they'll maintain their public position, that, you know, on behalf of you know, regime change or I guess Islamists, but on the other hand, they're both working, you know, for the globalist controllers. So according to Maria Zak from Nations in Action, the election was rigged with money that was set aside by Obama for Iran in connection with its nuclear program. You have within Ballard Partners, the leading fundraiser, a fellow by the name of Bob Wexler, who was key to formulating some of Obama's policies towards Iran. Wexler, among others at Ballard, were representing Leonardo S.P.A., which was an Italian government contractor that, according to Maria Zak of Nations in Action, rigged the election through Dominion software via satellite. The rigging was overseen by Trump's own ambassadors within Rome, with the money being funneled, you know, again through the Vatican. So after this story broke in Italy, the elites had to figure out a way that they could kind of cover up what had happened. I believe Maria Zak may not have been as, you know, forthright as we were led to believe, for the simple reason that the director of Nations in Action was Hans von Slakowski, who worked with the Heritage Institute specifically on ways to restrict the ballot to Republicans. So he was not looking towards election reform, but how they could elect more establishment Republicans. He had also worked on Trump's Election Commission, Integrity Commission, not for the purposes of uncovering fraud within elections, but retrieving the data from voters across the 50 states so that, again, they could harvest that data and figure out how they could best manipulate that data to elect conservative or establishment Republicans who would toe the line for the global elites. But in any event, once the story broke of that Italy had been involved in the election fraud, Maria Zak came forward with the allegations. I believe that this was done so that the elites could get ahead of the story. The information was passed along to Trump's team, and we know at this point that the Proud Boys, who are kind of like a paramilitary group and they're FBI informants, began to plan for the insurrection on January 6th. We have Ballard Partners involved again, too, representing for the first time ever Washington, D.C., for a consulting fee of less than $5,000 alongside a group called the Group D.C., which works with Kamala Harris and Maxine Waters, politicians who have advocated for getting in the face of liberals, shutting them down, intimidating them. You could say that they are aligned with Antifa. So these two groups came together. You have General Flynn, who is also involved with the Turkish-Iranian deals, alongside Jared Kushner and Giuliani, encouraging patriots one day before January 6th, hey, we've got to take matters into our own hands. We've got to defend our democracy. You've got Giuliani, coming forward with his, a very impassioned speech that, you have to kind of take matters into your own hands. In contrast, Trump was advocating peace. And we know that Steve Bannon, who is working with Cambridge Analytica, again, with data harvesting, who is also heavily aligned with the Vatican, was trying to convince Trump that the best way forward is for you to make a triumphant march on Capitol Hill on January 6th to encourage or to compel Mike Pence to certify the election for you. Now, he made the case to Trump that Pence had the authority to certify the election. Well, Pence said that he did not have that authority. Now, I'm not an attorney. I don't know whether he did or did not. But once Pence did not act as they had wanted, they then could blame Pence. for what had happened. So to me, this looks like they were trying to figure out how they could deflect blame away from themselves onto other parties. We also have General Flynn's brother, Charles Flynn, working with the D.C. police, who answered to the D.C. government, which was represented by Ballard Partners, working with the D.C. police, or he was actually participating in negotiations on whether, or discussions on whether the National Guard should be brought in to handle the crises.
Yeah, that's what I was advocating at the time too. That's exactly what I was saying should happen.
You should happen. Okay. However, Charles Flynn did not have he did not have the this was like not part of his jurisdiction or portfolio. He was not in the command structure that would have allowed him to participate in those negotiations. Flynn, among others, I believe, including Sidney Powell, were advocating actually seizing the Dominion machines or even rerunning the election. And all of this was very curious, given that Trump had an executive order that he signed back in 2018 that would have allowed him to call for a national emergency and to have reviewed the evidence, prosecuted the culprits, and as needed, to have overturned the election in his own favor, particularly if they had the evidence that that Dominion had overturned the votes in not only the 6 swing states but 17 states. So you have a potential cover up on January 6th. The police, as you know, were caught on video opening the gates for the mob to go into congressional chambers. And this was, the event that in turn triggered or gave the establishment the pretext that they needed to label patriots domestic terrorists and, to put a few of them into a legal jeopardy. So I found all of that very, very curious. And then at the same time, you've got Giuliani, Sidney Powell, Mike Flynn, among others, calling for audits of the election. Well, the audits, as you know, were performed by a group called Cyber Ninjas out of Arizona. The company was based in Florida. Cyber Ninjas was actually funded by Sidney Powell, Michael Flynn, and Patrick Byrne. It was very curious that they were involved because they did not have prior experience with audit, and they actually reaffirmed the election for Biden.
I want to hold your thought right there.
Go ahead.
We have to step aside for a break, but now you're entering into Dave Hodges territory too, because I have a lot of information on this that, and I'm surprised by a couple things you've said, and I'm going to have some questions for you when we come back. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, we're brought to you by, the group that can help you get through the coming economic catastrophe, the one that we're already in. What was coming is no longer coming. It's already here, and we're only going to see it get worse. Noble Gold can help protect your nest egg, and they have done it for me. And they've done it for a lot of people in the alternative media. They can do it for you, too. Give them a call at 877-646-5347. That's 877-646-5347. And you get choked up talking about these things because they're so upsetting. Do you have your storable food? Well, Biden's making it impossible for food to be transported at a reasonable price now with the contemplation of shutting down yet a second pipeline. And then we go through all the problems with fertilizer, the mega drought. I could go on and on, but you've heard it before. So what are you going to do? Well, you could store up on food while you still can get it. How do you get it? You go to preparewithdave.com. And then finally, do you have a satellite phone? Why would you want one? Because when they shut the communications down because people rise up, the satellite phones will still work. That's why. And I want you to give them a call at 855-980-5830. That's 855-980-5830. And talk to them about what they offer. And I'll tell you, it's not expensive. I pay 1/4 the cost for my sat phone that I do for my cell phone. And it will work in a variety of situations that you will not get your cell phone to work in. So, ladies and gentlemen, we're back with, Susan Bradford. And Susan, you said some magic words here. Excuse me as I take a drink here. And the magic words here that got my attention is that Sidney Powell is a guardian of the gate. Is that what I'm interpreting here? And she was put into place to make sure the audit became the fraudit and didn't reveal anything of important fraud.
I'm very sorry to have to reveal that, but yes, she is. And you know, Sidney Powell, as we know, wanted to release the Kraken, as she said, to mm-hmm. really get to the bottom of the fraud. And if I recall correctly, and I can't find that website anymore, but I believe that she had previously been employed with a firm that was heavily Zionist. So I believe that she was used, you know, for the purpose of creating the illusion that Trump's team was trying to do everything in its power to fight the fraud, because I think the public was aware that something very curious had happened. They were demanding answers, and so a team of lawyers was rolled out to create the illusion that you know, that they were challenging it. You had like Rudy Giuliani submitted a deceptively edited video as evidence. You know, their lawsuits were thrown out not on merit, but based upon like procedural errors. You know, they were rife with typos and misprints and so forth. So it was their effort was very sloppily done, and it appears that may have, you know, that they may have done this on purpose. Just to ensure that Trump did not have a proper chance of challenging, you know, the election.
Yeah, well, I have a few things to say to this endeavor. First of all, the evidence, there was key evidence involving Dominion voting machines, the election codes, which the election officials did not have on the night of the election. Mm-hmm. In fact, when I published that in May, this unleashed an avalanche of an attack against me, with people calling my colleagues in the alternative media, calling people like Paul Preston, threatening him if he keeps following me, contacting Sarah Westall, Joe von Pulitzer, basically just went off on me on basically a 3-page email, but didn't refute anything I said. And I said they can't give up the codes, the Maricopa County Board of Supervisors, because they never had them. And I knew that from 3 private discussions I had with election officials that were working on election night, and they were baffled by the fact that they didn't have them either. And they had Dominion stationed in their precinct in their own little private room with their laptops. But it even gets worse. Here's the part that's really inexcusable. The Maricopa County Board of Supervisors refused to surrender key evidence. And not once with a court order, not twice with a court order, but also with an attorney general's order reinforcing the court orders, but he gave them 30 days when he should have given them 30 minutes. And then he tacked on an additional 30-day grace period for them to produce evidence that everybody knows they had. So did the evidence ever get surrendered? No. They issued this ruling that Biden won without considering the evidence. The whole thing was a fraud. Cyber Ninjas is a fraud. And anyone connected with them is a fraud. The Arizona State Senate President, Karen Fann, is a fraud. In fact, the whole Republican establishment here is a fraud. And I think the reason, well, first of all, many of them are in bed with George Soros and China, and I've established that with campaign donations and other such things. But even the ones that aren't, that support this fraud, they are going along to get along because they're in a corrupt system. They know it. They're benefiting from it. And they know that system can be turned against them if they make too much noise. That's my take on this. But can you believe that they came to these conclusions without considering the evidence that was court ordered?
I think you made a very good point. And I also wanted to point out that Mike Flynn is a fraud. What many people don't know is that he was a consultant for Francisco Partners. Francisco Partners gave money almost exclusively to Democrats, including the Biden campaign. They also donated money to the Lincoln Project, which was run by Stephen Schmidt and which denigrated Trump at every opportunity. No campaign contributions were given to Donald Trump from this organization. And even more concerning is that this company is the umbrella organization for a group called the NSO Group, which produces the Pegasus software that has been used by repressive governments throughout the world to crack down on dissidents. So I think you have General Flynn represent himself as a champion to the Patriots, you know, is laughable on its face.
Well, Flynn was part of the Obama crew, so this doesn't surprise me at all. Yeah, I mean, he was a holdover. And after I've reviewed a lot of the things that you've sent me and things I've read that you have written, the one thing I'm wondering is if, and I mentioned this to you in a private email, if Flynn wasn't sacrificed because the truth about the FISA warrants and the Russian collusion, delusion, and all that, that was rolling up and could have ended up on Jared Kushner's doorstep. Instead, they threw General Flynn to the wolves as a distraction to take the attention away from Kushner.
I think that's correct because, because Kushner and Ivanka Trump recruited Flynn, they were involved with these deals with Obama to make a lot of money in Turkey. And I think that there was a lot of money at stake. You're talking about billions of dollars that were being funneled from Turkey into Iran with Ivanka cutting deals with some of these business people. So I think he was thrown under the bus on the Russian collusion delusion. I think that Flynn was probably forced to lie, to federal prosecutors because to tell the truth would have implicated a lot of people, and potentially taken down the whole Trump administration.
So he fell on a sword.
I think so.
Yeah, I kind of got that feeling too. I really did. Tell me about Cyber Ninjas, though. It seemed like a rinky-dink outfit to me, not fit to do a major audit like this. Tell me what your perception of this group is.
It was a rinky-dink operation. It had no prior experience auditing an election. It was apparently hired by the Republican establishment in Arizona. Received funding from Patrick Byrne, Sidney Powell, and General Flynn, and even strangely enough, the CEO Doug Logan was working out of Linwood's house. While this was going on, and of course Linwood was also challenging the election fraud. So I found that very unusual, and they were unable to find any fraud in the election. There were instances in which they were finding new votes, losing others. Like there were a lot of discrepancies with their numbers. So it was incompetently done, they did not find the fraud, and they essentially were able to reinforce the election for Joe Biden, while Flynn was claiming that, hey, we have the evidence, it's in the right hands, but they never were able to produce any of the evidence that they were talking about.
That's because the evidence was never surrendered.
Correct.
It's hard to know how to respond to this because there's so many tributaries that lead off of this, what you're saying, and what you're saying I really believe is true, but they say there was no evidence. That's a load of bull, and I'll just compare myself to Sonny Borelli for a second. I came out in May and said this, and this is wrong, and I'll just choose one example for simplicity's sake. Forget the fact that the election codes were never distributed to the election officials, which is a violation of state law. That decertifies the election right there on its face. Forget that. The ballots, the duplicate ballots that magically surfaced all with Biden votes, did not have the required originals as required by state law, and they should have been thrown out. And another thing, Adrian Fontes, who was the county clerk and recorder at the time, oversaw this department when there was a voter registration hack prior to the election. Dave Hodges came out and said in late April that, gee, this is how they got the fake names to go on the duplicate ballots for which there's no originals. Sonny Borelli, state senator, said in June in interviews that have now been scrubbed from YouTube, he said the same thing I said. I used the phrase, this is how they got people that lived at the corner of walk and don't walk to cast these illegal, illegitimate votes for Biden. And I said, right there, you have enough to overturn this election. And Borelli was saying the same thing in June on YouTube. In fact, people were writing to me saying, gee, Sonny Borelli is reading your stuff, Dave, because he's imitating your phraseology, walk and don't walk. So he's there in June saying this. By August, all his work disappears on the net, and he's going to meetings in northern Arizona, and he's telling the people there in these election integrity meetings, it's civil, it's not criminal. And now, just last week, he gave another interview saying the election should be decertified. He's playing the role of controlled opposition. And this, what I'm saying is the real facts have not come to light. I have covered so much from people that talked to me, and they had people they kicked out of the audit because of the fact that they wouldn't keep their mouth shut when they signed NDAs because they saw the direction this was going. Karen Fan didn't even want to do a subpoena for the evidence, and she had to be forced to, and that was the head of the audit. Liz Harris, who's kind of like me, she had kind of a quasi role with the audit. I don't have a role with the audit, but she was more on the outside than on the inside. She had volunteers canvass over 100,000 homes in Maricopa County and found tons of illegitimate ghost voting that went on. Mm-hmm. And she has presented that to the Attorney General, and he won't do a damn thing about it.
Well, they definitely wanted Biden to win, and we even see that from the fact that Ballard Partners hired a former worker with the Biden super PAC, Priorities USA. And the Heritage Institute has for decades been trying to restrict access to the ballot to prevent populist candidates from even, really even getting onto the ballot as well. And essentially, they're trying to ensure that they're using the issue of the audits to ensure that only establishment Republicans can get elected. And I think based upon their work in Arizona, they stand to make a lot of money by auditing, the elections around the country. And essentially, they're reinforcing the power structure, for establishment candidates.
But these are fake audits, would you agree?
These were fake audits. They're fake audits, correct?
Yes.
But they lend the appearance that they are working on behalf of we the people.
I've had, like I said, I had three election officials who I had, and they came to me independently, not together. That's what's really interesting, and it happened like in a 10-day period. And when they were being deposed and asked questions, they weren't being asked the right questions. This is what really disturbed them. They knew things were wrong on election night, all of them. And the duplicate ballots was the thing they were most worried about, as well as not having the election codes. And there weren't logs of transfer for the mail ballots that were signed off on, so these ballots weren't tracked properly. They said one person told me they were aware of ballots being transported by a private party in their own car with no supervision. And they knew the fix was in. And they knew I was writing about this stuff, and that's when they decided to contact me. And it's kind of interesting that three of them did independently. And when I totaled up, I asked them, I said, how many of these duplicate ballots do you think we're looking at? And they kind of gave me a gross estimation from each of their three areas. And it totaled almost 20,000 votes.
Wow.
All for Biden. And it could be as much as 150,000, Susan. I mean, when you look at Maricopa County and statewide, well, let's put it this way. I have an ex-DOJ guy who could unlock, and I don't know how he does it, but he can unlock election results, and he tells me that Trump actually won Arizona by over a million votes.
I believe it.
And he's confirmed a lot of the things I'm telling you right now, in this moment. There were five areas, and I won't go through all five now, but there were five areas that I found that were grounds for overturning the election.
So you're on the ground in Arizona. How do you propose how do you propose that the government move forward, or that the people move forward to ensure that the ballots are counted properly?
Every Republican up for re-election in this state gets unelected in the primary process. That doesn't guarantee anything, but it's a good move in the right direction. You got to hope you can find enough good people to move things forward. But we have to understand, when you look at the head of the Maricopa County Board of Supervisors, Heavy China, the sheriff who would have to have issued affidavits to do arrests for election fraud, George Soros funded, not in dispute. The Secretary of State, Katie Hobbs, George Soros funded. This is how deep this goes. And the governor is China's best friend. And he refused to let the legislature meet in a special session in December following the election. He says, no, you can meet January 13th, which was 1 week after certification date. That's not an accident. And this is how corrupt we are. So you say, how do we do it? If we're going to use the election process, that's the only way possible is to defeat Republicans in the primary. But the problem is the media, the Mockingbird media is just incredible. Let me give you an example of what I heard today on Channel 3 News here in Phoenix. They were talking about the investigation into now Trump audit people that are under investigation by the January 6th commission. And they said, and they're investigating the deadly insurrection. That's what they're calling it. That's what they called it in the news. The only death was Ashley Babbitt, who was murdered by Lieutenant Byrd, and he should be in prison right now because she posed no threat to anybody. But this is the media. Complete cover-up.
I think the media should be looking into this, and I would call it a deadly insurrection because Rudy Giuliani, Michael Flynn, and Steve Bannon were hoping that as much violence and chaos would unfold as possible to deflect attention away from themselves. So they were trying to stir up an insurrection on January 6th, and they were trying to upset the democratic process. Ironically, not on behalf of Trump, but against Trump to reaffirm the election for Joe Biden. And that's the part that the media isn't picking up. I think you might, I don't know if you agree with me.
No, it's not that I disagree with your facts. I think they're accurate. I don't know if this can be used in a meaningful way. Right now, this country is lost. And what I'm describing for you here, I have contact with people in Atlanta, in Fulton County, in their election. And I've talked to some people in Racine, Wisconsin as well. The story is the same everywhere. The plot I've given to you in brief is the same plot in all these other locations. Mm-hmm. There's no variation. Mm-hmm. I'm disturbed that Sidney Powell is such a prominent part. I would not have pegged her until I saw your work. Mm-hmm. They staffed both sides of this fight to get the outcome they wanted. Let me share this with you too. When we had rallies in Arizona for Trump, he'd get 20 to 25,000 a pop. We had a rally. There was a rally here in Phoenix, and Fox News 10 covered it. It was on a Saturday, 2 weeks before the election, and no one showed up. The only people there were the staffers for Biden. Nobody showed up. Nobody. And everyone will tell you, I've asked people, based on what you saw pre-election, did you think there's any way Biden would win Arizona? No. I mean, just people's, just their anecdotal experiences tell you that this election was stolen. And yet, we're so corrupt. I mean, look at the Maricopa County Board of Supervisors won't turn over evidence. Cyber Ninjas makes a decision on the election without the evidence. Do I have to say any more?
Can they be compelled to turn over the evidence?
Two court orders and an attorney general order. But the attorney general allowed the Cyber Ninjas to issue their verdict that Biden actually had 300 more votes before the evidence was surrendered. And now they've appointed a man named John Shattuck, and you should research him, 2 G's on the end of his name. He used to be McCain's mm-hmm. best friend. We had dealings with him in my property rights dispute with McCain as he was trying to steal our land. Shattuck was part of that group, and Shattuck is an open borders, total liberal. He is a classic establishment Republican, and they've given him control of the evidence that will be released to the public.
Unbelievable.
It is unbelievable. Mm-hmm. The fix is in Arizona. And I got to tell you, you got Karen Fann, the Arizona State Senate President. From the very beginning, she said, "We're not looking to overturn the election." I'm thinking, what if you find crimes? What if Trump really did win? And yet that was her consistent position. And we know she had conflicts of interest with a construction company called Fann Construction and state contracts. And I said, that's how she could be leveraged. And you can't even afford the appearance of being leveraged. And because I put so much heat on her, she actually filed a document with the Secretary of State about 5 weeks ago, recusing income from Fann Construction. And then we're on her real estate dealings, which are really suspect, where $10,000-$20,000 pieces of land that aren't usable are being sold for $500,000. Read between the lines of what I'm telling you. I can't come out with a full allegation, but it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out that she's as dirty can be. And she knows that the people in Prescott in her home area are pulling the real estate records. And she then subsequently said she's not running for re-election. I couldn't make this stuff up, Susan. This is so criminal.
But let me ask you this, Dave. Have you heard anything about the Fed actually buying up mortgages? And because there was a thought that I heard on the news the other day that if the Fed is able to purchase the mortgages, they could ensure that the economy collapses. And if that were the case, if that were to happen, many people would lose their homes or fall behind on their mortgages. The Fed could then sell the mortgages to China, and then China would own the real estate.
Yeah, that's correct. And they can put illegal immigrants in your home. There's a three-tiered approach
Correct.
with this, and I put it together. I just haven't had time to write the article. So I'll just say it here very briefly. Since 2012, the feds have intermittently bought up billions of dollars, now probably trillions, of home mortgages. BlackRock goes into communities and they're paying 20 to 50% over market value. So they're driving up the price of the homes. Then you got Janet Yellen that came and said, "We're going to tax unrealized income," which means next year, if we pass this with Congress, you'll have to pay a tax on the appreciated value of your home. And that will force a lot of Americans out of their homes, particularly the fixed income retired people. And so that is a big problem. And now you've got this eco group at COP26 that basically saying that we'll shut down any business or home that is not eco-friendly and has more than zero carbon emission, so they can take your home on that basis. And what do they need? Well, they're bringing in the replacements for you and me. They're called illegal aliens, and that's where they'll put them in these homes. And Germany did something very similar at the beginning of their immigration crisis, where their government basically displaced people in apartment buildings by force and brought in immigrants from the Middle East and Africa and housed them in these apartments. So the precedent's been set internationally. That's where I think this is going. So your question is very perceptive.
Well, thank you. And I know you had mentioned that a lot of these politicians and elected representatives in Arizona are actually working with China. They have deals with them. So I'm wondering if they're not aligning policies for that purpose.
Well, when you have the governor of Arizona who couldn't make his business work inside the United States and he makes millions in China, Cold Stone Creamery. And then you double down with an address he made, reported by the World Tribune in South China, that he said at the National Governors Association meeting that we love China and we know that their military needs rare earth minerals and we're happy to sell it to them from Arizona. I don't know how much more treasonous you can become. And so he's owned by China. Not to mention he's on the board of TGen, which makes money on vaccines, which is a whole different issue, but he's in that game too.
And Koch Industries, which bankrolls the conservative movement, is also in business with China.
I know. China dominates our politics here in Arizona, and George Soros funds a lot of candidates, and they work towards the same end. And they're really joined at the hip. We don't have time to get into this now, but there's a movement coming out of the old CALX, and it's led by Eric Holder, and we call it the Legion of Doom. That's a name we've attached to it, and all these parties are involved. And we think that they're spearheading planned domestic terrorism to head off the red wave. That's something that you and I should probably talk about privately. I wish I was making this up, but Paul Preston has this information, so do other people that don't want to come public. And they just had a meeting yesterday in Washington, D.C. with deep state members. And the governor of the state of Tamsulipa was there as well. And he is the main conduit for the migrant caravans that are coming through his state. AMLO hates him. He's issued an indictment for his arrest. So if he leaves his state, he'll be arrested. But yet he's invited to Washington, D.C. And he's part of bringing in millions of people. This is so criminal, so corrupt. The cartels are involved. Native Americans, some of the tribes are involved that they're in business with the cartels through the casinos, and that they're involved with this too. La Raza, I'm probably getting your attention now, aren't I? Because I know what you have looked at in the past.
I remember when I was a student at UC Irvine, there was a Hispanic student, illiterate, spoke pidgin English. I wasn't sure how he got into UCI, but he was funded by La Raza, and he was elected student body president. And during his campaigns, he said, "You know, we Mexicans are going to take over California. You white people stole it from us. It's down with the white people." That was back in the 80s.
Yeah,
Reconquista
de Ocalan was that movement. Yeah.
You got it. You got it.
Yeah, this is something I've written a lot about. That movement's not dead. Paul Preston had embedded sources in the CalExit meetings headed by Eric Holder with these same groups. And it was said that, well, we can start killing masses of white people and killing people at conservative events, and we'll force ourselves out of the union, because that was CalExit's attempt. They even opened an embassy in Moscow. I covered that with the pictures. So this is a really bad group. And they have been resurrected now. George Soros is part of this. China's part of it. The Mexican consulate at the time was part of it. I don't know if AMLO would support this. I don't think he would. But these are all bad actors that are planning a wave of domestic terrorism across the country right now. We're convinced of that. And I'll give you a theory. This is just a theory, only a theory. Kyle Rittenhouse probably got exonerated yesterday. The man he shot in the arm admitted on the stand that he was aiming his gun at Kyle before he got shot. And
Wow.
that's a justifiable shoot. And I'm thinking, what prosecutor would put a witness on the stand without fully deposing them in private, knowing what they would say? You have to know the answer to all questions when you're a lawyer. I'm wondering if this prosecutor's not deliberately blowing the case, and this will be the next George Floyd, Rodney King flashpoint for this domestic terrorism. That's just a theory, but I'm just, when I saw this exchange on the stand, I just about crap my pants. Excuse my graphic expression, but I have never seen such gross incompetence by a prosecutor. I don't think it's incompetence. I think it's deliberate.
Wasn't Lynn Wood representing Kyle Rittenhouse?
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah, and manage all
I think
sides
his
of the
cover was
issue.
blown too. That's true. That is
Yeah,
true.
and also what's going on in Racine, Wisconsin? Arrests are happening for voter fraud. Boy, what a nice distraction this is. So it just,
We're looking at
it never ends.
We're looking at modern Bolsheviks. No, you're right. It never ends. And I think we're looking we're facing a modern a new Bolshevik movement. Faces are different, but we know what happens. The same networks are financing it. The Rothschilds, and the international bankers.
Yeah, it almost, I've covered this so long that I have their playbook. I'm like a coach that can scout the opponent now. I'll give you an example. Kamala Harris is now at the COP26 conference. Why? I think she had to go over there and explain to our allies that want this massive climate change and subjugation of the United States that despite the red wave in America, we have it all under control.
Got it locked up.
And that's what I'm just saying. I mean, it's like these people, they're not very good at hiding stuff. She departs the day after the Virginia election, and she goes to the conference. It's humorous how transparent they are.
But
So,
I don't think I think they think we can't do anything about it.
well, we can if the military would rise up. And that's why I think they're expelling 350,000 members of the military, because vaccine-resistant people are the first people that will say no to a corrupt government. So I think that's going on for that. But it's just, It just never ends. And we're not done with this journey, you and I. Your facts fit hand in glove with what I know to be true. And ladies and gentlemen, you're saying, wow, this has been some smoke and fire in this interview. Well, stay tuned. We're going to have Susan back. Her website again is susanbradford.org, I should say. And you want to be there as quickly as possible. And on that note, Susan, we are flat out of time. We got to run, but I'll be in touch.
Okay, talk to you soon, Dave.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.